Right. Well, I'd say the first thing, that really jumps out after watching Houston is just really how well they're playing now. I think Coach O'Brien's done obviously an outstanding job with the team, given where they were at 2-5 after the Miami game, and won 4 of their last 5 games, pretty much at the top of the league in most every defensive category in that time. Holding a couple teams to no touchdowns, good teams too. So their overall production defensively, offensively, not turning the ball over, getting their big plays, balancing the offense off with the running game, getting big plays out of Hopkins. Griffin's come back and helped them. Brian's played well at quarterback. And then they're solid in the kicking game. This is a big, big unit. They have a lot of size. A lot of big, strong players that we have to match up against. So, as well as a good group of speed guys. Leckler, obviously one of the great punters of all time. Very, very good in that area. So, playing well. Doing the things they need to do to win. So really, really close to beating Buffalo last week. I mean, that game was tied with 2 minutes ago in the game. They dropped an interception that. Got to run back in for a touchdown. That would have won the game for him, and end up having to go the other way. But that's one that I'm sure they feel like got away from them. So we're gonna have to do a good job in all three areas. Obviously, the great players that they have, Watt, Brown, Hopkins, Leckler. We're gonna have to deal with all those guys. But then they have a lot of good depth. A lot of young players that have played very productively for him as well. So, be challenged all the way across the board. The corners do a good job. They have good depth at that position. I mean, they're just good on defense, period. So, a lot of challenges this week. Sure, it'll be a great, great environment Sunday night. A lot of energy in that place. And hopefully we'll be able to play our best game.
Given the depth of your relationship with Vince Wilfork, is it going to be weird Sunday night looking across the sideline and seeing him over there?
Yeah, sure. But, again, we deal with that pretty much every week. I mean, there's always somebody on our team that was on their team and somebody on their team that was on our team or a coach or something like that. So, I mean, it's a National Football League. It's not – been through quite a few of those.
Specific to what when you watch him on the tape, is there a comparable to you over your time in the league that stands out to you in terms of another player that impacts a game on defense like he does?
Yeah, he's pretty special. He does a lot of things really well, and everybody game plans for him every game. I mean, he gets a lot of double teams. The lines slide into his side. Teams trying to run away from him. Teams trying to handle him, but he does a good job with all of it. He's in spite of all the attention that he gets and the schemes that are put in from week to week to try to handle him. He still has a tremendous amount of production. So they move him around a little bit, so he's not always in the same place, although he's. Plays a lot on the offensive right, the defensive left, but he shows up in other spots as well. And Romeo and Coach Pasqualoni done a good job of moving things around enough to to keep the offense off balance. And he's done a really good job of dealing with a lot of extra attention. Whatever it happens to be, like I said, line slide, double team, tight end staying in. Kind of the. Similar to some of the things that we saw from, teams dealing with Taylor, at New York. So, he's got that kind of disruptiveness.
Yeah, the class of players in that category. I mean, you mentioned Taylor. To me, that's probably about as high as you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't go above Taylor because of the versatility that Taylor had, in terms of pass coverage. And, I mean, he was a pass rusher and a run player and, also a pass defender. I mean, he was really an elite player, and including the kicking game. And of course, Watts blocked a lot of kicks too. So, I mean, but I think for the position he plays, he's as disruptive of a defensive lineman as I've seen in the league. you know, in the same general category as LT.
Coach, in the spirit of leaving no stone unturned, would you go back and watch any Hard Knocks episodes if that team you're playing was featured this season, or is that an asinine use of time?
Again, in terms of preparing for a team, we have a lot of people in our organization that kind of do different forms of preparation work, and so that would be covered in that general category, not me specifically. No.
What type of improvements have you seen from Brian Hoyer? And I guess when he was here, was there anything you saw from him that you thought maybe that he would have success as a starter one day?
Yeah, absolutely. But he never, you know, he just never got a chance. I mean, it was, you know, had the opportunity that Matt Cassel got in 2008, I mean, you know, who knows? But he didn't. So that's, you know, that's the way it worked out. But you know, Brian does a lot of things well. He did a lot of things well here. I mean, the fact that he came in as an undrafted player and made the roster his rookie year is, at that position, is pretty, that in itself is pretty impressive. You know, he's smart. He's tough. He's accurate. He throws a very good deep ball. He's got great awareness on the field. They put a lot of responsibility on him, as we know, you know, Billy does with the quarterbacks and Coach Godsey. Put a lot of responsibility with the quarterback, so he has a lot of, you know, things at the line of scrimmage that he can audible, adjust, check out of, so forth. And he did a good job of that when he was here, you know, in the opportunities that he had. So he's got a lot of mental toughness, and he's got good quickness, and again throws a very good deep ball. And he's a quality player that does a lot of things well, helps the team win in a lot of different ways.
DeAndre Hopkins' game that makes him so dangerous?
He does a lot of things well, too. Let me say, you know, start with his hands. I mean, he has great, great catching skills and a great catching radius. But, you know, he's averaged over 15 yards a catch, or right at 15 yards a catch, whatever it is for his career. He's had a ton of production, but, I mean, it's not, you know, on, you know, 2-yard slant routes and stuff like that. I mean, he's making plays down the field. But it's he's always open because he's got the ability to catch the ball wherever the defender is. If the ball's thrown opposite the defender, he's long enough and good enough to, you know, come down with a lot of tough catches. He's strong. He's got good playing strength. You know, quickness can get open, but he goes up and competes for the ball and, you know, comes down with it, in tight coverage, you know, a lot. So, like I said, he's always open because he can come down with the ball. You know, his ball skills and his length are exceptional.
Does that force cornerbacks to be a little bit more aggressive to the ball?
Well, again, I think you've got to look. I think you got to force players to make those plays. I mean, he makes a lot of them. You know, Beckham makes them. I mean, those guys make them. But you know, you can't give him the easy ones. You know, if he makes a great play, a good throw and a good catch, then you know, I mean, you got to live with that. I mean, as soon as you start trying to stop those, then you're going to end up giving up plays that, you know, are just easy plays. I think you got to make them execute those great plays. And are they going to hit a couple? I mean, yeah, they're not going to hit every one, but yeah, I mean, they'll hit one. They'll hit one. It'll be on the highlights, you know, on Sunday night. But you know, you got to force them to do that. I don't think you can, you know, give them easy access, easy yardage, easy throws. I mean, that's just suicide. You got to make them, force them to make those great plays, and you know, compete the best you can on them.
So how
has
Vince
Wilfork
put to you watching him this week?
About the same. Guy's played a long career. He's played at the same position. It's, you know, thought he probably had his best game against Buffalo last week.
Well, you brought in a couple of offensive players in the last 2 weeks, and DeMars and Trey. There's potential for bringing somebody else in after the release of Rashawn Melvin. This stage of the year, what's the process like when a guy comes in from another organization or outside the organization? How much can you introduce to him to get him into the offensive or defensive game plan for the coming week? Or, you know, what's that process like?
Well, it's challenging, Bob. It's, you know, we do it on a number of different levels. You know, there's just the component of just getting the guy into our organization, just – here's how we do things. Forget about the X's and O's. Just, you know, there's that aspect of it. Then there's kind of learning what some of the basics are in terms of terminology and, you know, formations or alignments or whatever it happens to be. And then it's pretty much game plan specific. You know, what do you have to learn to play this week? And then whatever you can get beyond that in terms of, like, general fundamental, you know, foundation building, you do the best you can, but you're usually pretty consumed with trying to just, you know, get in what we're doing this week. Here's how we adjust it against the different things that our opponents do. And then next week's next week. But in some of those windows where you have a little bit of possibly extra opportunity, you know, try to build a better foundation, a better base. So even though this doesn't apply this week, here's what this means, here's what this, and because at some point you're going to want to build on that. But it's a tough catch-up process. It really is. Where a player like, you know, Keyshawn Martin, who at least from an X and O standpoint and probably from a program standpoint too, had some familiarity with, you know, protections and adjustments and basic concepts, you know, probably the learning curve for him would have been, you know, easier than, you know, say a player that comes in with, you know, very little in common, you know, maybe the routes were numbered and ours are named or vice versa, or, you know, the protections were names and ours are numbers, you know what I mean? That kind of thing where it's really trying to put together a whole different language and trying to learn new language as well as learning what to do, but also trying to, you know, learn what different words or concepts mean. You know, I think that's probably the hardest part of a new. So as you go through that process with the player, some things that you'll talk to him about and he'll say, oh yeah, I got that. That's what we did here. That's this. This is that. Okay, good. And then there's other things that are going to be different, that are foreign, that are new, and those are going to take more time. And you don't really know what those are until you actually go through the process with the player, start talking about things, get questions, get feedback, you know, quiz him on the information you've given him to try to understand, you know, what he's getting, what he isn't. Maybe some guys learn better by walking through it. Some guys learn better by seeing it on a film. Some guys can look at it on a piece of paper and understand it. Some guys need to see it on the field. So, you know, there's that whole process of getting to know the player and his, you know, best learning techniques too. So a lot of different components to it, but it's, you know, obviously you're fighting a losing battle in terms of a race against time that you're just already too far behind in to ever get all the way caught up. You just got to try to catch up enough so that he can be functional for that particular game and then worry about next week.
You see Vince have inside the locker room or even on practice with some of the younger guys?
Good. Yeah, he was great. I mean, he was, team captain for multiple years. You know, great leadership on and off the field. Really smart player. Understood concepts, understood, you know, what it took to win, how to prepare to win, how to compete, you know, how to make adjustments. Vince always had a real good poise and kind of a, you know, I mean, he had an emotional side to him. I'm not saying that. I don't think he can play the game without it. But he also had a very, you know, calm and poised side where, okay, what do we need to do? How do we need to do it? What adjustments do we need to make? Okay, then go out there and, you know, do it without it being a big, you know, frenzy. And he was, let's say, a very settling influence on his teammates as far as that type of thing went to. So, yeah, he did a lot for us. He had a great career here. And he's a great, great player. I mean, for his size, very, very talented. You know, I mean, like the interceptions that he had and things like that. You just don't see a lot of guys make those kind of plays, you know, at the position that he played. I think that speaks to his athleticism.
You've talked a lot how you learn a lot from your coaches, just as your coaches talk about they learn a lot from you. I'm curious, from your time with Bill O'Brien, is there anything that stands out that he brought to the team that you look at and say, you know, I learned that from having Bill O'Brien on my staff?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think I learned a lot from Bill. You know, Bill and I spent a lot of time together, and it was good. You know, I mean, Bill's got great leadership skills. I mean, without a doubt, great leadership skills. So, you know, watching him, you know, observing him handle, you know, in-game situations or practice situations or, you know, meetings and that kind of thing. You know, I think he did a great job of that. I got a lot of, I'd say I took, definitely took some things from that. You know, overall, just, you know, preparation of the team offensively, things that we talked about in terms of, you know, what to do, when to do it, you know, how much of a risk to take, when to take it, you know, and so forth, managing in-game situations. So we had, you know, like any offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator over a multi-year period, you have a lot of those, you know, end of the game or, you know, critical situations that you talk back and forth on of, you know, what's the best thing to do? How do we, you know, best manage a situation? So, you know, he had a lot of input in that, you know, as Josh does now or Matt does, Joe, you know, for those situations. So that's, but I think, you know, Billy's got a good, he's really got a good mix of, you know, those, all those things, leadership, toughness, you know, command, intelligence, decision-making, poise. And again, I mean, you know, nobody could have gone into a tougher situation than Penn State and, you know, do what he did in 2 years. So, I mean, whatever he had to deal with here, I think was, you know, a fraction of that in a total picture of it, you know. And you talk to the players that played for him there, people that were there with him, and, you know, the job that he did there was just, you know, spectacular. And he did a great job for us, too. I'm not saying that, but, you know, he's had, you know, multiple opportunities here along the way from here to Penn State to now Houston. And the same thing, you know, talking to players that have come from down there, the amount of respect they have for him, just watching the way that teams play, his teams play, you know, going through four quarterbacks last year, and, you know, being 9-7, you know, dealing with some of the things he's had to deal with. I mean, he's, I think he does a great job. He's a great coach.
Do you see a reflection of that when you watch the Texans on film, that there's a lot of O'Brien's personality in the way they play?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Romeo and, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, Pasqualoni, George Gotts, I mean, all those guys, yeah. I think they certainly have a vision of the way they want the team to play. Now, you know, I'm not saying that they have every resource at their disposal right now. None of us do. But in terms of, you know, playing the game the way that they need to play it to give themselves the best chance to win, absolutely. I think that's really what it's about. You know, doing what you have to do to make the most out of what, you know, what you have versus what you're competing against. And I think they do a great job of that.
When he was here as a player, did Mike Vrabel strike as the kind of guy who would go into coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Mike and I talked about that a lot. You know, he'd give me advice, and I would tell him, Mike, you know, when you're a coach, you're calling the defenses, you should go ahead and do that. You know, here's why we're not going to do it. Or that's a great idea. You know, we can do that. You know, it's good. I'm glad you brought that up. So Mike's not afraid to make a suggestion. And, you know, we've had a lot of good discussions. Even when he was at Ohio State, or even when he was at Kansas City for that matter, you know, bump into each other from time to time. But, you know, at Ohio State, particularly when he got into coaching, you know, we discussed a lot of, you know, my daughter was out there at that time, and it was at Ohio State, and, you know, saw Mike, and, you know, we'd talk about different, you know, whether it be X's and O's or managing players or, you know, practice tempo, whatever it was, you know, just general, could be general coaching things. But, yeah, I think Mike's got a great, great mind for it, great passion for it, and, you know, he's got great playing experience, so, you know, he can draw on things that, you know, honestly, you know, I never played in this league, you know, I can't draw on those, so, you know, I think there's definitely some advantage to that. I don't think that's, you know, a ticket. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into it, too, but, I mean, that's something that is, you know, if it's used properly, I think it's valuable. So, you know, Mike was a great player. He's played in different systems. He played different positions. He played on offense, defense, special teams. He's played in. He's played linebacker. Honestly, he would play free safety in practice for us probably once, twice a year, you know, especially when we were up against a guy like, you know, a guy like Ed Reed or somebody that, you know, really knew what he was going to do. You just say, okay, just go back there and, you know, go with what you see. And if you want to gamble, gamble. And, you know, Mike, I mean, he would do that. He'd love that. I mean, he'd drive Brady crazy doing that, you know. like, oh, he'll never be there on that pattern. But, you know, it's Ed Reed. You don't know where Ed Reed would be. You know, he was usually wherever the ball was, he somehow got there. And, you know, so Mike did that. So Mike was really again, you could just see his overall passion for the game, whether it be playing multiple positions, playing offense, defense. You know, he had a great understanding and awareness of the total game and loved to play it. You know, loved to play tight end, loved to, you know, I mean, be up against a big receiver. He'd go in there and take a couple plays at receiver, you know, so.
Bill, have there been many guys like that that you can tell right away they have as a player because of their passion, just their mind? And have you ever said over the course of their career, you would make a pretty good coach someday?
You know, I think a lot. There's a lot of guys that probably fall into that category. But I'd say Mike, probably as much as anybody. You know, I mean, even when he first got here, that was only, fifth year in the league, whatever it was. You could even kind of see it then. You know, and his career wasn't even half over, and he was already kind of, you know, thinking about coaching. You could kind of tell when he got done playing that's what he was going to do. Yeah, I think that came out pretty, you know, pretty early. But he had a real passion for just, again, you know, not just knowing his position, but, you know, understanding the total game. You know, he was always, you know, very good on things like, you know, being able to anticipate what the offense was going to do, you know, hearing a call and then, you know, that call coming up later, maybe not even that game, maybe it was like the next year we played him, you know, a guy like Manning who's, you know, making checks at the line of scrimmage or, you know, things like that. I mean, he had a lot of those little things that you just, you never see on film, you know, but somehow he knew them or he figured them out or anticipated them and, made a lot of, you know, instinctive plays or, you know, plays based on experience and, you know, just knowledge, you know. So, and Mike was really, you know, tough. I mean, he was a tough football player. So I think that comes, I'm sure that comes across in his coaching as well. You know, I don't think he, you know, he babies them or, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, sit around and eat marshmallows. Like, that's not really his style. Mike's, you know, Mike played hard. He coaches hard, and I think the players respect him because, you know, he puts in as much work as he demands. So I don't think he would ask anybody to do anything, you know, he hasn't done and probably done more of. Okay. All right. Thank you.